ಸಹನಾಭವತು ಸಹನೌಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಜನ್ಮ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ರೈಟ್ ನೌ ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್. ವಿ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಎನಿ ಅದರ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಟಾಕ್ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್. And he says that I should talk on the inner life of a sadhaka. The outer life also we will talk about. Who is the sadhaka? First let us see. First, everyone has to discover in oneself a sadhaka. A sadhakaha means the one who has got a sadhya, something to be accomplished, and to accomplish which he has got sadhanam, the means, an end, means. Both are there. Then he becomes the one who follows the sadhanam to get the end. And therefore, if there is someone who is committed to learning music, he is a sadhaka. The music becomes the sadhyam, and the sadhanam is his daily learning and practice. Learning and practice. Learn and practice. With the instrumental music, then the instrument you have to practice. The instrument doesn't behave as you want. So first you have to learn what is to be produced in that instrument. Then having learned, then how to produce those places. So in that instrument. Then afterwards you have to practice so that it comes easily. So that is the sadhana. There is a learning aspect, then there is a practice aspect, abhyasa. So that abhyasa makes you an expert. The more you play with the instrument, and then the more you on the instrument and using the instrument, the more you practice, the more spontaneous it is for you, then you don't require to really be careful. Otherwise you have to be careful. Your attention is always on the instrument and also the note you want to produce, and therefore the care is on that. So that part of it has to become very natural. So when that becomes very natural, then you can be creative. Till then, he is still a sadhaka. He is not a siddha. He is a sadhaka. It has to become natural. It is true with the vocal music also. Because you may have a phrase inside, but the voice doesn't produce that. And therefore, so you have to practice. So this voice, basically you have to undergo voice training, and also you should know how to produce a given note. You may say sa, but sa may not be there at all. You may say re, Re may not be there. So Re, the letter can come, but the Re, the note, the Rishabha, will not be there. Sorry. So that has to become automatic. So the more it becomes very natural to you, then more you can be creative. So here also, there is a sadhakaha. So now when we say sadhaka, we mean with reference to what we are in for. Sadhakaha. Therefore, the sadhyam should be here in this particular thing. The sadhyam is either predominant sadhyam for you, or it is a non-predominant sadhyam. A predominant sadhyam it can be, the same thing can be non-predominant. So like a person, so who has various other interests, and also has interest in this, then for him, the sadhyam is non-predominant, But then it is there. It is there, it will become predominant at one time in the person's life. It's not that it's not going to become, it will become predominant. Then whether a person lives a life of a sadhu or lives a life of a grihastha, so but still it can be predominant. And that's why the grihastha life becomes yoga, and that becomes predominant. The end becomes very predominant. So if the end is predominant, then the whole life, let us assume, so either it is a sadhu life or it is a grihastha life with a lot of activities, etc., but still there is the predominant end. So the predominant end is moksha. That moksha should not be looked upon as a desirable end. It should not be looked upon as an important end. It should not be looked, this is all not enough. So moksha should be the end. That is what is called purushartha nischaya. So there is no other end really which we can consider as an end. And therefore, every end comes to an end. And therefore, this is the end. To be, that should be very, that should be realized. We should think also that we are someone special. We are not special. So there is nobody special here. So neither I am special nor you are special. So it's only simple, the human end, you appreciate. Generally, the people who take to this life, generally, not as a rule, generally are people who come from a background where there was certain pain. And so, the childhood pain was there, and that is the basis for driving you either to this kind of a pursuit, or it drives you to a pursuit which is other than this, but still it can be something, some kind of, you are driven by something, you want to accomplish something. And therefore, even people who are highly committed to so power or wealth, whatever, this money, etc., so they also can be, they may be very successful, but underneath it is all pain. They become workaholics, and that is the, it all comes from pain, it's all diversion, or crime, so whatever. So there are, so varieties of ends, so come from pain. So everybody has pain, but generally, so those who take to, a non-conventional life, in a sense, it's not one of the things that are there in the world. So there are a lot of things in the world people seek, and this is not one of them. Really, it doesn't belong to them, it's not one of them. Therefore, they're not going to look at you as one who is living a normal life. Understand? So living a normal life. So it is a little out of the normal life, and therefore, it does take a certain either viveka or certain urge from inside due to samskara or samskara plus certain pain also. But anyway, due to samskara alone, pain can drive you to various ends, but samskara, if it is there, it takes you to this end. Therefore, it is not mere pain that can make you a spiritual seeker. Definitely you must have a certain samskara. If samskara means, a certain thing that you come with yourself. Therefore, so it is always said, Ishwara Anugraha Deva Pumsam Advaita Vasana. So this Vasana is samskara. So this samskara is tendency. So this Advaita. Advaita means what? Moksha. So Advaita Vasana is only Ishwara Anugraha Deva. To be a Nastika, that itself may be some Anugraha must be there to be a Nastika. And then that again, you don't require any Ishwara Anugraha for a desire to go to heaven. You don't require Ishwara Anugraha. All that you require is only non-thinking, which we have got a lot. And therefore, there is no necessity for Ishwara Anugraha for that. So that's all very simple. But there is Asti Ishwaraha Iti, that bhavana itself, there is Ishwara Iti, that bhavana, simple bhavana, that also may have some sanskara must be there. But then, this Advaita, even as you hear, you will run away. People will run away. And that is because you require a special anugraha. Ishwara anugraha deva pumsam advaita vasana syat. Therefore, pumsam for a person. So this Advaita vasana, this samskara for the Advaita is only Ishwara anugraha deva. It is only due to the grace of Ishwara. And therefore, the pain plus samskara, we should take it. or pure samskara, not great pain or anything underneath, everything was okay, but then, so samskara is there, therefore they take to. Either way, it can be. Now, if this is so, therefore, that purushartha nischaya, even that tendency is there, but nischaya must be very, very clear. And so the nischaya means your conclusion that this is indeed the thing, the thing. There is nothing else which really matters. It is that kind of a, because, see, well, just look at this one. Should I become mature or not? this is not an agenda that you have to have. So it is something that is very natural. A child is born and it has to grow, it becomes an adult. It's very natural. Then if it becomes physically adult, human being has to become so emotionally an adult person. Then every way an adult person. So that adulthood really speaking is only in accomplishing moksha, according to me. It's pure adulthood, nothing else. And because, so as an adult if you begin to think, then naturally, so small things become small things, the real thing becomes the real thing, and therefore, so this is an adult thinking. The really moksha seeking is adult thinking. Therefore, adult thinking to achieve the adulthood, and for which there should be a certain degree of adulthood, therefore even mumuksha is an adulthood. The mumuksha itself indicates the adulthood. So you have become an adult, that's what it is. You have become an adult. And this we have to make sure, whether we are, what we are doing is out of simple pain or escape, or we are doing it for escape out of certain maturity. So even, that's not generally the case. People when they come to this, generally they don't require to have, they need not as a rule have a certain understanding of what I'm doing, etc. Only very few people may have, a few others may not have. But at least after coming to this, so the one should necessarily have that appreciation that this is the thing, whatever that I have done, maybe I might have done due to what is called, due to a mistake, some escape. So I did this, but at the same time, now I am converting it as a blessing in disguise. Sometimes a mistake becomes a blessing, but mistake remains a mistake also. Understand? It remains a mistake if you don't grow, and if you don't mature, it remains a mistake. So what in the original mistake continues to be a mistake. But if they, in the meantime, the person grows, no more it is an escape, it is called Samvadi Brahma. So thus, suppose you have, there are two types of Brahma. One Brahma is, so a mistake, just a mistake, rope mistaken for the snake. That is one mistake, is a classical mistake. Then there is a mistake which leads you to the discovery. Like they say, that suppose you see a precious stone, a green stone. So it's shining, the emerald. It's shining green, and you thought it is emerald. Oh, it's green, it's emerald, it has got light, luster, etc. In fact, it has no luster. It has no luster. It is not self-shining. It has to reflect light. It has no self-shining at all. Suppose you mistake it for a self-shining, your stone it is a beautiful thing, it's a shining thing, and you go and pick up emerald, all right, but then it is emerald, all right, but it is not shining. Still, you got the emerald, all right, but it is emerald, the precious stone. But then the shine is not the property of that thing. It can reflect light and it is green. Therefore it shines. So it doesn't belong to it, but at the same time it is reflected glory. So you thought it has got original light and you thought it's a wonderful thing to have emerald. Now afterwards you find it is not shining, but still you have emerald. You got the precious stone. And therefore, even though it is not the personal property of the object, but still you got the object. You went for it as emerald, and you do have emerald. Understand? You do have emerald. But you went for it as emerald, thinking it has got light, but it doesn't have that light at all. But still it is emerald. That's all the point here. So this is what they call one type of Brahma. So your mistake, which proves to be right. So similarly here also, so one may take to this life by mistake, purely by mistake, but at the same time, mistake in the sense, then escape. So you can as well escape into something else, you escape into this. So when you escape into this, So then there is a, there we can say, we should assume that there is some cause for it, some prarabdha for it, and therefore we may call it samskara. But still, inner maturity is purely lacking. If it is, it becomes an escape. And therefore, even if there is samskara, it still can remain an escape if one does not grow into it. So you have to first get into it and grow into it. Like even sometimes, you know, so when a person is appointed to a job, the job, the requirement is you must have 5-year experience. Okay? So the job requirement, they say, he must be an engineer with 5-year experience. That means what? So somebody wants a person who has gained experience at the cost of someone else. So this is what they want. And so 5-year experience he must have means. So somebody else must have paid you for 5 years. So without the experience you won't fit in there. But then sometimes you appoint a raw candidate and then that person slowly so becomes that right person there. So otherwise, so he remains, if he doesn't really learn, he becomes a square peg in a round hole. And therefore is unfit. So what I say, so you can grow yourself into the slot so in which you find yourself. So here you find yourself, whether you like it, you find yourself here. So you find yourself as a mumukshu, studying Vedanta. So anything else, Vedanta is not for any other purpose. It doesn't serve any other purpose, and it need not serve any other purpose. You should see, it need not serve any other purpose. The only purpose that it serves is to make you see a mature person. And that is not something that you must choose to have. It's something very natural. You should see, this is the thing that I have to grow into. If I have to grow myself into a person, then this is the person. Because a person happens to be Purnaha, and that is what I want to be, and that happens to be me, and therefore I have to know. So this must be very, very, very clear. So when that is clear, then you become a sadhaka. Then only you are a sadhaka. So when you are a sadhaka, then afterwards sadhanas so become something universal sadhanas, and there are personal sadhanas. So personal sadhanas dependent upon personal requirement. And the universal sadhanas are like shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, dhyanam, shraddha, samadhamadhi, all these are all universal. So there one has to really look into, so what one has, what one doesn't have, without being judgmental. Without being self-judgmental, so one should look into oneself. Because if there is something lacking, that doesn't mean that I am someone who is inferior to somebody else, or someone who is not fit for this. That is all unnecessary judgment. Therefore, I would say that there are a lot of things which one may lack. It's not that everyone is qualified. No, there is no exception to this. So everybody, including me, all of them are no exceptions to these various limitations with reference to what we call the Shamadama, Uparati, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam, Viveka, Vairagya, etc. Mumukshutvam you can take care of, okay? By proper vichara, then mumukshutvam can be taken care of. That's a very important thing according to me. That's very important. Once that is mumuksha is very clear, then it is not a choice. You won't, even suppose it doesn't work for you, still you won't regret for it. Because even afterwards it is mumuksha. Whether you give it up, even then it is mumuksha. You know, give it up for what? Give it up for what? And so there is no giving up or anything. So there is no giving up. So there is, because it's life. It is life, is a whole process. The whole life can be a process for, so what you call mumuksha to fulfill. Because every person is a mumukshu, one has to discover, because the end being what it is. All the ends being what they are, so they are all coupled to one end. And that end has to be discerned. And therefore, there is no question of any failure here. Nobody is a failure. So this judgment, how much I have progressed, this is another problem. This inner life of a sadhaka. So Swamiji, so when I came, so 2 years ago, I was like this, now I am like this. I don't see any progress at all. When somebody says something, I get upset. When previously at least I didn't get upset, now I get more upset. And so I become more sensitive, so I become more upset. Previously I never minded, now I mind also. So like this, there are varieties of things, you know. So there is we are living a cerebral life here naturally, so too much of intellectual life or whatever, I mean lot of thinking. So, but this we are thinking there is no scope for emotion, you know. You don't dance, you don't sing, you don't do anything, you know. So there is no dancing, there is no singing, there is no beach, there is no swimming, there is no, really true, these are things that we generally do. There is no TV, there is nothing. So like this you don't have diversions that we generally have. And there is no transaction of the society much. And then here, whatever the society we have, so this is the same society. There, you know, you don't live with the people. You don't live with the people, you meet them, and then afterwards you just say goodbye, is over. You don't live with the people. And with whomsoever you live, you have got problems anyway. And so, there are your problems. And those people whom you live are the people who are inevitable, like father or mother or husband or wife or children. So these are all inevitables. So you cannot avoid them. Therefore you put up with the difficulties. Not that there are no difficulties, you put up with the difficulties. But they are all bound to each other. And therefore there you can accept that, accommodate them. But here you need not put up with people. Understand? You need not put up with your neighbor, or you need not put up with the people in front of you. So this you need not put up at all. Why should you put up with all these people? Crazy fellows, some of them. And so why should you put up with them? And so this is because someone said, this fellow is crazy. I say, if he's not crazy, he won't be here. So that is true, you know. So this is only crazy people come here. So non-crazy people don't come here. So what I say, so there must be some kink inside, otherwise there is no way to come here. So that kink is caused by pain or whatever, so that there should be some kink. And whatever, so what I say, this is why should you put up with these people? And you have to put up with these people, therefore you feel that, do I do the right thing? Naturally the question should be there, do I do the right thing? And have I done the right thing? One Swami once told, then he said that if he had not started these activities, then he would have gained samadhi. So for the past 25 years he has been working, or 30 years he has been working, so for the good of the people and for the salvation of the people, moksha of the people, and in the process he didn't get moksha at all. And so this one Swami very seriously talks, and he's very angry also, and makes you feel guilty. Like somebody said, you know, he died for you. So he died for me. For my sin he died, it seems, 1900 years ago. So this is something, you know, like making you feel guilty for nothing. And man says this. And therefore what I say, it seems, so otherwise he would have exhausted all his vasanas. And therefore, so because of you fellows that I didn't do this at all. And then you behave like this. Anyway, so what I say, so this is that you'll regret. Otherwise, this regretting is always there now and then. Did I do the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? What is there in the Bhashya and all that? How does it help? So these are all sentences. So nothing is a language after all. If it is in English, we can very easily understand. Because if it is in Sanskrit, we don't understand. You know, look at this. If it is in Sanskrit, we don't understand. It's nothing. Put it in English, it's nothing. So if anybody just can read it, why should I read the Sanskrit and then try to find out the meaning of it? Then afterwards, what is this compound bahurihi karmadarya? Who cares all this? Whether it is a bahurihi karmadarya, so what does it mean to me, Sachidananda? You know? Doubt, you know, these doubts come. So why should I study Sanskrit? Why should I study Panini? So straight away study, if at all you want to know the language, just to study the language. So Panini, then you have to study his own methodology, his own meta-language. You have to study Panini and Metta language, and afterwards, then you should use that language to understand this unknown language. Look at this. Therefore, there is a double language study. One is linguistic study, the other is this Metta language study. So otherwise, what is lut? Tell me. What is lut? What is lung? What is ling? So what is this? See, generally, these are all words we generally use, you know, when we want to talk some, you know, in tongues, we want to talk in tongues. Then we say lung ling lung lung lung. And therefore, so this is a big Metta language it is, naturally. So the doubts come. Should I study this? Do I want this? Do I need this? Am I continuing rightly? 2 years chale gaya. I don't seem to progress at all. So anyway, nothing, no progress, really. So first day when I came here and looked at this Sanskrit book, it looked like some worms are sitting there. And then, now I am able to see the legs of the worms that are there. So, some movement I see, I don't see anything more this movement. Therefore, what do I get? There also I don't get anything. And therefore, everything seems to be Sanskrit. Vedanta also, the Brahman, etc. also seems to be Sanskrit. So what I say? So this is what? First day, whatever Swami taught, is the same today also. There is no problem. I think the whole thing is over in 1 or 2 days. So it's all over. Why should we just go on listening to the same thing? You know, that simply it is easy to say, Atma is Satchidananda, Atma is the Adhisthana of everything, then need not say Anupraveshaha. So this is Anupravesha, so Tasya Anupraveshaha. Then afterwards, why Pravesha? Whether it is the Hastam, you know, Mukheiva Anupraveshaha, or the Grahastaha, Griheiva Anupravastaha. So what is this Anupravesha you are talking about? It is, this is a, all these inquiry, all these for what? Questions. Just telling, all these are questions possible. Questions possible. Then another thing, when will it be over? This is the third life. They are inner life I'm talking. Okay? When will it be over? So what is Swamiji's plan? What is he going to do? So is he going to be here? Or is going to be moving around? And so when is he going to come back again? Suppose he goes away. Then afterwards, how long is he going to be there? Will it end at the end of this year? At the end of the next year? Or is it going to extend? No news, no agenda. Okay. So when it is over, so where will I go? Where will I go? So what will I do? Pick up the thread? After 3-4 years, how will I feel in this society? I may be like a domesticated cat. I may not survive in the wilderness of this society. I might have lost all my wits. Here, because bells ring, food comes. There no ringing of the bell except the stomach ringing the bell. So there is no other bell ringing. And therefore, so what am I going to do? Am I going to take up the job or am I going to do this teaching? Teaching, can I teach and then still have some people? So who is going to listen to me? Then you see some people, then afterwards you say, oh, if this man can live, I can also live. So there is some kind of encouragement you get because of the occasional visitors from different places, and therefore you get some encouragement. Okay. So this is all inner life I'm talking. So the daily inner life that is going on, and therefore other needs are all there. So the needs to relate is also very real needs. Don't think that they are ordinary needs, and those needs are also real. And then Bhagavan's expression in those form of needs, because it has nothing to do with you really speaking. And therefore those needs are there. How are you going to handle them? So it's not easy to handle this thing. And therefore, it's always a problem. The need for security, the need for love, need for affection, the need for reciprocal, the attention, etc. It's all a need. It's all a need from childhood. It's something that comes from the childhood. These are all needs, etc., this, etc. All these are very common. And so then what you do? So you just try to focus your attention. Okay, so we will see this all this later. For the time being, so let me pay my attention to. Are you want to roll rick? So easy. Just you pay your attention to whatever you are studying, Sanskrit, etc. So this is how Tra and Sanskrit. This is what you decide. Again, the same problem. It's not that one decision makes a summer. You know, one swallow. You know, swallow. It makes a summer. One swallow doesn't make a summer. It swallow is a bird, I think. So it doesn't make a summer. And similarly, one decision doesn't make a course. And naturally, so you have to, day to day you have to decide. Day to day you have to undergo these situations. And that is why I'm never surprised. People come and talk to me as though some big thing has happened. Then afterwards I find it is nothing. Because I heard this 100 times before. So I have become a vriddha because of hearing all these things, you know. So this is nothing new to me. And therefore, nothing surprises me, really speaking, that small things become big things. Because when you live in a small, when a few people live in a small place, then what happens, do you know? So small things become big things. And I used to realize, you know, when we were in the village, so this, in the village, when we were growing up in the village, though this man did die like this, that man said like this, this man like this, there is quarrel between people, and this man won't talk to the other person, that man won't. Then after 5 years, so even just not before Vedanta, I'm telling. So before, just after 5 years, I go back to the village and I find it's a small little village and there is nothing really big thing going on, but small things become big things because there is no big thing. When there is no big thing, small things become big things. Therefore, what is important is that big thing has to be kept in view, the big picture. The big picture has to be kept in view. Always big picture. Big picture of yourself and big picture of others also. The other also is, there is a big picture. Everyone has a conscious mind, there is an unconscious mind. The conscious mind, one can manage. The unconscious mind manages you. You do. Because it's unconscious. Because it is unconscious, you have nothing to manage there. So it manages you. Therefore, when it comes to manifest itself, there again we try to, that's why we are prayerful and try to get some kind of space within ourselves so to see that we can manage those things that come from the unconscious. You can't disrespect the unconscious. It is an uncanny unconscious, it is a part of you, it is a flip side of the conscious ego. Understand? It is a part of ego, it is a flip side of ego. It can appear after 60 years, after 70 years it can appear, till then it can wait. And then it can appear. We don't know when it will appear. Understand? So in the unconscious, there are situations which are there. So we have to understand that. When you understand that, you can be kind to yourself. So you can be kind to yourself, then you won't be proud, you would be humble. Anytime the unconscious can produce things. It doesn't matter. If you know how to manage, you don't worry. So like even hunger, you know. So tomorrow if I'm hungry, what will happen? Day after tomorrow if I'm hungry, what will happen? Tomorrow after hungry. You don't worry. So when hunger comes, you appease that. Because you have learnt in the process having eaten for so long. But the child doesn't think so, maybe. He's always anxious or whatever. But then once you have, having eaten all these years, put on extra weight. So having put on extra weight, you don't think that that's a big problem. When it comes, we'll see. But in general future, there may be some problem. But then, so, if hunger comes tomorrow, what will I do? What will I do? You did exactly what you did yesterday. And so it's not a big thing. So eat something that you always, as the problems come, you solve them. It is the same thing. So whatever that is inside, so as it projects itself. So at that time you know how to handle it, how to face it. One has got to handle that, whichever way one handles, one handles. So that's the thing to be taken care of as it happens. The only thing here is the big picture. A big picture is something like if there are two fellows, neighbors, fighting for the piece of land, not even piece of land. So 5 inches or 10 inches, this fellow put the fence this side, you know, this neighbor, generally these neighbors always do that. When they make a new fence, they always put it little this way. Instead of putting the holes here, they put all those poles, then they put it little here. 2, 3, 4 inches, 5 inches, so on this side. And this man says, how can you do this? So this is not your land. This is my land. So there's a big fight going on. And then the land that this fellow has lost, okay, the land this fellow has lost will not cost him more than 1,000 rupees. And the land that fellow has gained, of course, is the same, not more than 1,000 rupees. And now they, both of them go to the lawyers, and that fellow pays 10,000 rupees. This fellow pays 10,000 rupees. The court, the big case is going on, and nobody is ready to, that fellow doesn't ready, he's not ready to give it up, and he wants to prove that it is his land, his right, etc. And this fellow wants to prove it is his land, it is a case. Understand? Now, the both of them have lost the big picture. The big picture is, in fact, the other fellow, it is wrong, adharma, no doubt, but that can be righted. In a little certain way, it can be righted. Anyway, but this man has a problem of having lost the land, etc. It is not merely dharma, there is a lot of insight, there is so much problem. Then the fellow, both the fellows are taken up, so in a helicopter, and then they were asked to see. In a helicopter, it doesn't go 39,000 feet, it just goes. So 39,000 feet, if the helicopter goes, it will go to heaven. So there is no problem. So what I say, so this helicopter just goes 1,000 feet above the ground, and then you look down. Then he asked these two fellows, hey, come on, where is your land, tell me. You hover around the same place. You ask him, where is your land, where is that fellow's land, which is something, which you have lost, what you have gained, please tell me. It's nothing, you know. All down below is just a big carpet of green land. In fact, it looks very nice, all green, green, green. Down, when you come down, you don't find green, because you see only the green top, and then and between two trees there is so much there, and so an ant hill and so many other things. But then from there, when you see, it's all green, green carpet. That's all what you see. Fences don't use, you don't see fence or anything. My land, your land, all, so all just roll into one carpet of land. Understand? Even if you see that, the difference is, the difference of the division between my land and your land is not there at all. Big picture. So that big picture is a big picture of yourself and others. You know, that we lose all the time, that is the inner life of a brahmachari, or a sadhaka. Inner life of a sadhaka, living in a gurukula, where there are so many people, where you can't get away from them, you have to stumble on them every day, and then they sit next to you sometimes in the classroom, and then they're also next to you, everywhere next to you, so you don't know what to do with this person. At the same time, you can't talk to the person, you can't look at the person, it's a nuisance, you know. It's a huge nuisance. And in this problem, this is nothing. Just like I tell you afterwards, after the course is over, all these things go away. Other problems, etc., are gone. You know, two are persons. You just enjoy them, in fact, afterwards. It's all small things becoming big. It's always like in a house when the people live, so it's always like that. So what I say, so this kind of situations as they arise, so I have to keep not only my big picture and also the other's big picture. Anyone's behavior is an indication of something that is there. So either positive or negative. So whether it is something that you don't like or you like, so it all depends upon the person's own, the conditioning, background, unconscious. Nobody can behave different from what that person behaves. What is the use of complaining? You know, you can't complain salt is, this is a crystal of salt is salty. You can't complain. This is salty. I can't handle it. I can't stand this. Is it that? You can't stand this. Means what will you do? You tell me. What poor sugar, this salt crystal can do? It cannot do anything. I can't handle this. I can't stand this. If you say, that's your problem. The salt crystal is not going to change into sugar crystal. But generally we always expect people to behave in a better manner. behave in a certain with some consideration, behaves with some sensitivity, behaves a little more sane. You know, we expect people, and they also expect the same thing from you. So this, we don't know who is sane and who is insane. So we don't know, because you think the other person is insane, the other person thinks you are insane. And of course, both are not insane. I am insane because I have both of you. And therefore, this is a thing. It's just, that's why I say, one must have a big picture. A big picture, and once you have a bigger picture of yourself and the other, the bigger picture is to understand there is a background of the person. There is a background in the other person, that's why behavior. That's it. The background has to be addressed by the person. If you can help, you help. If you can't help, just allow the person to grow his or her own way. That's all what you can do. Honestly, I'm telling you, there is no other way to live a peaceful life and pursue. Therefore, a sadhaka's inner life should be properly guarded all the time. The sadhaka has to guard. Nobody can guard that. So that you have to guard yourself, maintaining a bigger picture and all the time. That is why they say, so janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. There's also a bigger picture. Then another one, then the tattva jnanartha darshanam. Muhur muhuhu darshanam. So tattva jnanartha darshanam. So muhur muhuhu paryalochanam iti. That is the meaning they give. And why? Because it's not that once you saw it's enough. That bigger picture has to be kept in mind. Why? Because we lose sight in the process. This is very evident if you in some ashrams in Rishikesh. So first the people, when they come with some, as I told you, come with some fantasies, some fancies, some various ideas, some divine, spiritual, and then I become like these ideas, these dull ideas, rishis, dadis, all these, they come with great ideas, they come. All fantasizing, all the time fantasizing, they come with all these ideas, and then afterwards they come to brass tacks, then they find, they don't have a second. You know, the second renunciation is difficult. First renunciation is easy, because there is nothing to renounce. The second renunciation is difficult, or something to renounce, whatever. So the first renunciation is easy. Second renunciation is, afterwards you find you are already lonely. And therefore if you hold on to something, the second time you know that you can't handle it. And therefore what you do, you can't renounce, you hold on to it. Then afterwards you want to somehow, the mind wants to learn something, then you want to learn. Kelati mama hridaye, Rama kelati mama hridaye. Veena. You know? So he wanted Brahman, then he ended up with Veena. And that too, Veena learning is a big thing. Say, learn if you want to learn Veena, it is good. It can be a sadhana, go to a vainika. Not a swami. Kelati mama hridaye. Doi, 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 doi. Doi, 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 doi. I would say it's called misplaced enthusiasm. It doesn't work. And one has to keep the picture, bigger picture always in time. Understand? More you give the, keep the bigger picture with you, always in your vision, and whenever small things disturb, then think of the bigger picture. Bigger picture means your own, what you want, what you are in for, what is this. We are talking of order, we are talking of Ishvara, we are talking of everything. I am telling you are Ishvara, and you are telling, and this person did like this, that person did like this. It's not Ishvara anyway. Therefore, this is Ishvara like an idiot, okay? Ishvara like an idiot, that's all what it is. And therefore, so what I say is this, that these feelings are very natural, I'm telling you. So it's nothing. So I don't say, please, this can put a guilt on you. Because if I say, suppose you complain or something, Then, I'm not supposed to complain hereafter. Swamiji ridicules complaint. No, I don't ridicule. No, not at all. I don't ridicule. I take seriously any complaint. That's a different thing altogether. But what I say is this, that how we are going to, these kind of things natural, I'm telling. These feelings are all natural. These feelings are natural. Sometimes we get hurt in the process, and therefore how to heal the hurt. Bigger picture. Bring the bigger picture and keep that in view. Then you find so small things become small things and we are able to manage better. The bigger picture implies my own vision of myself and also, you know, my own understanding of Ishvara and also my understanding of others. We need not know others, but we know one thing. There is one conscious, there is one unconscious background. Conscious background and unconscious. So, and I hope the person is brought up. So all that counts, you know. Therefore what happens is sometimes the behavior is problem. It's something like, you know, suppose an American comes here first time, and then when he finds, so the type of how the people eat and how they sit and how they, all that, when they see, there can be some difficulty in the beginning. Then afterwards they just understand. They understand, I say it's another way after all. In fact, it's good to understand that there is yet another way, and yet there is another way, yet there is another way. Like this they understand. And so it becomes kind of a learning process for them. It is true with anybody else also. Therefore, even within a culture, people behave differently. And therefore, it's all background. In the same home, in one home, there are three children, and they grow, and they grow up, and then they come back, and when they come back, after, you know, when they are in 20s and 30s, and then they come back, you should see the behavior of these three children. One fellow is still Vatalapake, the other fellow is different, the other fellow you find all the three different. So it's sad. That's how it is. Home is the same. People, how they were brought up is all the same environment. But still, you find some difference. And I don't know why that must be. I mean, I think there are reasons for it. But then, so this, you find people are different. So understand, there's nothing wrong in people's different types of behavior. But we have to see whether how, we have to guard ourselves not to get hurt. And then see whether we can help people. So teach you, because proper behavior makes, that is external life. I'm going to talk about external life later, so because another talk I have got in the evening. So what I say, the inner life is to have always, to see I am not hurt. You have to see you are not hurt, and if you are hurt, you always talk to somebody who is significant to you, and then talk to that person and get rid of the hurt. Write about the hurt. Write about your feelings. Keep a journal. Write about your feelings, etc. And thereby, so they are not anymore hurting you. Understand? You have to write, and then express it. If you keep it inside, you will find smoke coming through your ears and nose. And so all kinds of things come. And therefore, there is a blowing of the top. So both, it's all volcanic eruptions. And so one day you will erupt, and at in a most inappropriate time and place. You will erupt, honestly. So one fellow, you know, I had a camp in PSC. I don't know, you are here. So I was having a camp in Mahadevan, you know. So I was having a camp in PSC, and so this camp people had come there, and one fellow, one of the campers, class is going on, and this fellow, I'm sitting here, this is door is here, you know, the door is on this side, and it's a huge door. And this fellow, people are sitting, and he just walks in exactly as he was born. So there was a knot, a string on him, okay? And I don't know what he said, I don't remember what he said. He said something. Then I said that you know, that I was talking, and they all know how I handle that. I told them, okay, that's fine, that's all right. Please go sit in your room, in your, please sit in your room, I'll come and talk to you later. So like this, I send him away, and then somebody, I asked somebody, please take him to his room. And he went and he took him to his room. You know, this is how smoke comes out, you know. So smoke means not that smoke has to come. This is how it is. Crazy. Understand? So these are all things. Why? Because, and well, there are problems inside. So those things, if you don't express them, if you don't write them out or talk to somebody, and then it's there. But talk to, don't talk, go about talking to everybody. It doesn't work that way also. And so you distribute your problem to all, and then they don't know how to handle it also. And so, the problem. And so you talk to a person who can handle it, and whom you can talk to, that's it. Or you write it out. You don't write, you keep writing. Writing, and this is how one has to learn. Understand that it is, you live your life always emotionally. And those, the emotions should not be neglected. And you cannot circumvent emotion. Understand? There is no cerebral life here, I don't consider it. But then, because there is so much emotion going on anyway. And therefore, but you have to process it. If you don't process it, it becomes cerebral. It becomes cerebral. If you process it, it's perfect. You just process the whole thing properly, write it out, then you find that you have a real program of your own, what you call sadhana, a program of sadhana. It's not only just your religious and spiritual. So this together, so they form the sadhana, plus the emotional aspect of it also has to be taken into account. Okay? Then with reference to external behavior, etc. also, we have to be sensitive and we have to be very alert and awareful. So that also we have to see. We'll see that later. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.